If you'd like to open your Bibles to John chapter 12, John chapter 12, commencing from verse 12. The next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down the road to meet him, and they shouted, "Praise God! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of Israel." Jesus found a donkey and rode on it, fulfilling the prophecy that said, "Don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming, riding on a donkey's colt." His disciples didn't understand at the time that this was a fulfillment of prophecy. But after Jesus entered into his glory, they remembered what had happened and they realized that these things had been written about him. Many in the crowd had seen Jesus call Lazarus from the tomb, raising him from the dead, and they were telling others about it. That was the reason there were so many went out to meet him, because they had heard about this miraculous sign. And the Pharisees said to each other, "There's nothing we can do. Look, everyone has gone after him." Now fast forward a little bit. Not in the Bibles, but in history. The year was 1797. An English fleet of battleships was in battle with a Dutch fleet in the French Revolutionary Wars. English flagship, the most important ship, Venerable. On it was the leader of the English forces, Admiral Adam Duncan. And battle didn't start well for the British. The flagship's mast was struck, and the Admiral's colours, the flag, was brought down. No colours, flag on the flagship. It can be interpreted by the other ships in the fleet as a sign that the Admiral had surrendered, that is, given up. But this was not the case. A sailor named Jack Crawford grabbed the Admiral's colours, climbed up in what was left of the mast, and nailed the flag where it was visible to the English fleet. And because of this crucial act of bravery, the English were eventually victorious. And Jack Crawford returned home to a hero's welcome. So I'm thinking about nailing your colours, nailing our colours to the mast. What does it mean? It means to defiantly display one's opinion and beliefs, or to show one's intention and to hold on to those beliefs until the end. Jack Crawford climbed that mast and nailed the colours in the middle of battle. And I know of people who have stood firm in their beliefs, and you do too, in spite of tremendous opposition. But can you think of anyone? Well, Jesus, as Hannah always reminds us, let's look at Jesus. Did he defiantly display his opinion and beliefs? Did Jesus show his intentions and hold on to those beliefs until the end? Did Jesus nail his colours to the mast? In the story in the first Palm Sunday, which we heard read this morning, we could look at the thousands and thousands of people who were exalting Jesus and how the religious leaders were so racked with envy that they decided to arrange the death of Jesus. Verse 19, and the Pharisees said to each other, "There's nothing we can do. Look, everyone has gone after him." There's envy, isn't there? And verse 10, then the leading priests decided to kill Lazarus too, for it was because of him that many of the people had deserted them and believed in Jesus. And in this story, we could look at how fickle the crowd in Jerusalem were. The same crowd that were crying out to Jesus in verse 13, "Praise God, Hosanna. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of Israel." This same crowd, just a few days later, were crying out for Jesus' execution. These people shifted from proclamation to persecution, from acclamation to accusation, from condoning to condemning. And in this Palm Sunday story, we could look at these people or the religious leaders, but I also thought we might use this time to look at the reason Jesus was even there in Jerusalem in this story. Because Jesus must have known Jerusalem was a hot spot. He must have heard how the religious leaders wanted him dead. He was Jesus. He was human too. He must have realised it would have been far safer to stay in his homeland of Galilee, way up north of the country, a far safer place to be. So why did Jesus come to Jerusalem? Do you remember the definition of nailing your colours to the mast? Did Jesus defiantly display his opinions and beliefs? Did Jesus show his intentions and hold on to those beliefs until the very end? Friends, Jesus nailed his colours to the mast, to the cross, by courageously returning to Jerusalem. And by the end of this Holy Week on Good Friday, Jesus would allow his very body to be nailed to a cross in a defiant display of what he believed in, and what he believed in, what he believes in, is you. He loves you and he loves me. Jesus, our Redeemer, nailed his colours to the cross, and every one of us can now receive his salvation through what Jesus did for us. Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 18. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armour so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armour, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body of armour of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So what does it mean for a Christian in today's world to nail their colours to the mast? The Apostle Paul wrote this letter while he was in prison for his faith. In fact, he was chained to a Roman soldier. And the end of Paul's life was very close. Paul knew that Christians needed to nail the colours to the mast, just like Jesus did, just like he was about to do, just like he was doing. And by looking at the soldier next to him in prison, Paul used the elements of a soldier's equipment to help us to understand how we too can nail our colours to the mast. How can we nail our colours to the mast? By wearing the belt of truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And without an understanding of truth, we're left vulnerable to being carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of man. So it's crucial that we put this piece of armour on first. How do we nail our colours to the mast? By wearing the body armour of righteousness. And righteousness means living God-honoured lives that display his character. It means living powered, righteous lives filled with love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control, faithfulness and gentleness. How can we nail our colours to the mast? By wearing shoes as a sign of readiness. We're ready to share the good news of Jesus Christ with whoever we meet. We speak about the good news and we live this good news every day. Let's share it. How can we nail our colours to the mast? By carrying a shield of faith. Attacks can chip away at our resolve. They can come when we least expect them. We all are aware of that, aren't we? Accusations, unpopularity, criticism can hurt and discourage. The shield of faith is our protection because faith is complete and perfect trust in Jesus. How can we nail our colours to the mast? By wearing the helmet of salvation. We thank God for his forgiveness for the wrong things we've done. As Colin reminded us, he can take those things because that baggage wears us down when we wander around in sin. And we thank him for the increasing strength we have to resist the things that hurt God. How can we nail our colours to the mast? By carrying the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. A sword is a weapon of defence and defence. It might be basic instructions before leaving earth, but it is more than this. It's a lens to see God, speaker to hear God. The word of God is a connection with God himself. And the last piece of a soldier's equipment, Paul includes. We can nail our colours to the mast by engaging God in prayer. To pray constantly, not just in emergencies. Communication in battle is vital. Prayer offers daily strength and encouragement, both for the one who prays and for the one he or she prays for. This week I had the privilege of being able to go to the Colour Conference held in Sydney. And one of the speakers who currently lives there, lives in Syria instead, tells a traumatic story of the treatment of his friends and family and himself by ISIS. And being a Christian, he chose to respond to threats we can't even comprehend. He chose to respond not with guns, but with love. And it was in his community, seeing this is having a huge impact where he continues to live. He told of one man who had been threatened by ISIS by being told that they were going to come for and take his 12-year-old daughter. This man was absolutely desperate. He had just one night to think of ways to protect his daughter. And in his desperation, he fell to his knees, called out to the God of his culture. And in doing so, he realized that the God of his culture had never responded before. And so instead, he called out to the God of this Christian man and friends. And our God responded. In front of him appeared a vision telling him, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." And our risen Lord Jesus told him to flee in the dead of night, to flee from that house with his family and his 12-year-old daughter. He didn't know where he was headed, but he went in the direction he was guided by God. And he and his family ended up many months later on a beach in Greece. And as the boat was nearing the shore, he heard a group of followers of Christ calling out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." I wonder, followers of Jesus, are we as dependent on prayer? I wonder, are we sometimes like the Palm Sunday crowd, shouting hosannas when we feel Jesus is doing the thing we want him to do? But then he appears to us to not be answering our prayers, and if we're not careful, we can turn our backs on him for a day, for 2 days, or even more. Are we dependent on prayer? Are we dependent upon prayer? Are we dependent upon communicating with our living Saviour? What does it mean for a Christian in today's world to nail their colours to the mast? In other words, how do we commit to God who has shown that he is thoroughly committed to us? There are some who are committed to clubs, to teams, to work, to Kmart. Anyway, I looked up on a website to check out characteristics of committed people, and although they were intended to apply to business management, how do they apply to you? Number one is committed people make commitments. Okay? Number two, committed people say what they're committed to. This is in the business world. Number three, committed people invest in their commitments. Number four, committed people are passionate about their investments. And we can see how that can apply in the secular world, can't we? Friends, that's what the world says about commitment. So how can we, Jesus' followers, stand out from the world? How can we be salt and light in the world? So what are we going to do differently this week than we did last? How can we stand out in the world? I want to nail my colours to the mast. How about you? We want to boldly declare that I follow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Lord of Love. I want to live for God, to serve him and to honour him with my life, even in the heat of battle. You may be going through that battle right now, but he is committed to you. He's not going to let you down. Lord, give me the strength I need to do this. Lord, just like you did, help me nail my colours. If that's your prayer too, shall we join in praying and singing right now? King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven, living in me. And we sing and we pray, all within me cries out in praise. Is everything within you crying out to him today? It's very easy, isn't it, to give a little bit of ourselves to God, to be kind of committed, to be half-hearted, to be half-committed. It's very easy to do, to be half-in. He wants us to be fully surrendered, fully in, because he's committed to us.